Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist and blogger. I write for a lot of different publications, including my blog, girlyjuice.net. I was about to say I also host a podcast called The Dildorks, because that's usually what I say when I'm spouting my bio, but y'all know that already, one would
assume.
They
might be familiar.
Who are you, my friend?
I am Bex, and I don't know if I can follow up that intro. I am a sex educator and a blogger, and I host a podcast called The Dildorks. God, this is just a garbage fire, but since we're recapping 2016, I guess that's fucking appropriate.
It is apt, yes. So
I was gonna ask if we could redo it, but fuck it, if we can't redo 2016, what's the point?
No, it shook out the way it shook out, and now we gotta move forward with our lives.
Oh, God.
2016, or 2016, if you prefer, has been a great year. Not globally, or politically, or in many other ways, but...
Or for any of our heroes.
No, but for me, sexually.
Literally, everyone's dead. Oh, yeah, my sex life's been great.
Yeah, my sex life's been off the chain, possibly because
Is this
I've...
where I make one of those jokes about getting fucked as hard as this year fucked me, overall? Because I know it's overplayed, but I laugh every time.
I know, because it's so accurate. It actually has been, like, a weirdly good year for me sexually, and so I know that you're excited for this episode, and I am too, because I feel like... a lot of the, like, 2016 wrap-ups I've been seeing in all different areas have been, like, this was the worst year ever, and I'm happy to talk about kind of the good parts of the year that made me happy in the pants and in the brain and didn't make me super depressed like a lot of the rest of the year did.
Yeah, I think my sex life, for the most part, managed to... be the only thing not making me depressed and anxious for 2016. There were the few months in the middle there that were a little wonky, but for the most part, like, it was a good time.
Yeah, I mean, like, sex and dating, etc., definitely was a big source of my anxiety this year, but it was mostly, like, the good, exciting, scary, nervous, but ultimately positive type of anxiety, where it's like, I knew that the world wasn't going to end just because someone wasn't answering my text, you know. Even if it was
could,
for
though.
6 weeks.
Oh my god. I will never get over that.
I know.
Fucking never.
Let's do some sex stats to start things off. I'm curious about your numbers for the year. Do you happen to
so
have...
So am I.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
So I have a sex spreadsheet, which I need
I
a better punny
do.
Name for. I've been calling it my sex sheet. Sometimes I call it my spread eagle sheet, which I just feel is not that great.
I like it.
But I actually have stats on... literally all the sex that I had in 2016, which is really cool, and I'm hoping to do some kind of blog post where I sort of crunch the numbers and just write some cool shit about it.
Oh my god, can we have pie charts? Will there be pie charts?
Yeah, totally.
Yes!
So, I'm curious if you know how many times you had sex. Do you have, like, a ballpark?
Oh, fuck, no.
No?
No,
not
fucking
at all.
Idea. Let's say 20?
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, see, I'm so bad at these stats because I never know how to define sex.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
like,
I mean, on my spreadsheet...
Because I've gotten fingered way more than I've actually, like, had dicks in me.
Oh, I would definitely consider that to be sex. Like, on my spreadsheet...
Oh, number's higher.
Yeah, the minimum...
That was, like, 5 times this week.
The sort of lowest threshold for what I consider sex, as far as, like, entering it in my spreadsheet, is a few times this year I got spanked and fingered a little bit in between the spankings. And that's sort of, like, the mildest thing that made it on there. And then it's everything up from there.
I'm curious. Did platonic spankings go on there?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I mean, only it's if you felt sexy about it.
Well, I think also because those instances of spanking where I did put them on the spreadsheet, there was fingering as well. So, like, for me, I guess I considered genital contact to be the dividing line there.
Yeah. I think for me, like, I don't know, like, maybe just if my pants come off.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so you would consider us to have had sex, like, then, is what you're saying.
No.
Because your pants have been off while I've been spanking you.
Well, yeah, but no, that's different.
Right, exactly. I'm talking,
yeah, like, I guess, like, genital contact, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just such a weird line. I remember I went on a first date once, and some dude was like, you know, how many people have you had sex with? Which, like, is when I should have known not to go on a second date, but then he bribed me with steak, and I was like, yeah, we can hang out again. Oh,
steak is a hard yes for me, too, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
You made a mistake, you might say.
And, but yeah, he was like, so how many people have you had sex with? And I was like, oh, fuck, shit, I don't know. And then I, like, ballparked it, and he was like, and I was like, wait, I mean, it depends on how you define sex. And he was like, well, like, PIV. And I was like, oh, like, half that.
Yeah, yeah.
Considerably less.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, like, part of the intention, like, it has to do with intention as well. And, like, I would consider an intention to give each other sexual pleasure part of my definition of sex. So, like, yes, when I platonically spank you or other friends, I am intending to give you some kind of sensation. I would not say that my intention is to give you sexual pleasure. That's not really something that I'm thinking about. So,
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, according to...
How many times... Oh, according to your spreadsheet, you're going to give me a real number.
Yeah, well, this
I'm half-assing this. I'm getting a spreadsheet next year, y'all. And 2017 wrap-up. It's going to be so much more scientific.
I'll let you borrow mine as a template if you want, but I feel like you'll just throw it away because it's not as organized as the one that you would make, I feel like.
I'm going to Virgo the shit out of that spreadsheet.
I know.
Y'all have no idea.
I know that you hate my color coding. I remember when I sent you a link to look at it, and I was so proud of it, and you were like, this is hideous. And I was like, I know.
I don't think I was that rude, but I did have a lot of feelings about the color coding.
Okay, so here's a nerdy thing that I'm excited about. As of time of recording, the most recent time that I've had sex was this past Wednesday, and that brought me up to 50 times in 2016. And the great thing about 50 is that it's super easy to calculate percentages because you just need to multiply all the numbers by 2, and then you know, like, if I had sex with this person 10 times, then I multiply it by 2, and then I can say, 20% of the sex I had was with that person, for example. So it just makes the math really easy. That's just nerdy, weird shit.
That's really exciting, though. So, like, you just can't have sex for the next 2 weeks, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like I don't want to. Like, the fair. People who I would want to bang are not here, and so I'm kind of just like, I'm happy with the amount of sex that I had in 2016. I think I'm good with it.
Yeah. Well, and I think your number's a lot higher than mine because you had a lot more people that you were consistently having sex with. Although, right. My number's probably closer to 30 now that I think of it because I was thinking, like, unique dates and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was starting, so I had sex with 10 or 11 different people this year, depending on your definitions of sex.
Mm-hmm.
And people. No, that was rude.
Were they people or were they garbage fires?
Not, no. No, the question marks are, let me look at my list, the two that, like, I'm rounding up to counting,
mm-hmm.
which I'm just counting them as one, as is someone that I've just fingered, and I got an anonymous blowjob at a sex party. That person found me on OkCupid the day of the election and was like, hey, you want to go out? And I was like, no, I want to die.
We all maybe process don't... our grief differently, okay?
So that happened. But yeah, so those two I'm like rounding up. But yeah, yeah, I thought about the
I have the a person I'm rounding up to, which is our friend Suze.
Yeah.
I'm counting her as one of my partners this year because there was definite hand on genital contact both ways, but I guess I feel like I should have done more, and so I'm kind of like unsure whether to count it as sex, although probably if I asked her she would say yeah, we definitely, I don't know, I feel weird about this conversation.
Text her. Let's get a live update on the podcast.
I don't want to do that. I'm nervous.
Okay.
I don't even know.
I've got
I'm
news for
about.
You.
Yeah.
She listens to the podcast.
I know.
So, Suze,
text me right now, Suze. When did you we have this? Sex?
When you. No, tweet this.
Okay. What am I tweeting?
No, I was just telling Suze to tweet it, not you.
Oh, okay. We definitely had sex near each other, and...
We had sex near each other. You have never touched my vulva, and we've done a lot of things.
So, if we do count Sue's, then I had sex with 12 different people this year. Which is pretty cool, because it's like one person per month. Cool math things.
Yay! Yeah, I'm kind of excited about being in an even number of 10, but that's only if I count only one of my sort of people I had sex with. So we'll see how that mm-hmm. goes. although I might have more sex with one of them before the end of the year, so they may get promoted to definitely sex.
So how many of your 10 or 11 were new partners this year? Like, you hadn't boned them in previous years.
All of them?
Okay.
Yes. All of them. How about you?
So three of my 12 this year were people I've previously banged last year. One of them is a fuck buddy who I met last year. One of them was a fuck buddy who I also met last year and stopped seeing in, like, January. And then one of them was the friend who we both had a threesome with, and who I last banged in January.
So. I had to do the math on if he was this year or not, because I'm looking at my list of all the people I've ever had sex with, and I was like, when did I have sex with these people? But yeah, no, that was last year. I haven't had sex with him this year.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so three quarters of my people are new people, which I think is, like, good. I'm not sure how to value judge that, but I think.
I don't really know how to feel about the fact that.
You know, my numbers are going up.
Yeah, I don't really know how to feel about the fact that all of my people are new people. Like, I would. Although, I would have sex with. On my list of the people I had in years past, I would have sex with almost all of them again. Not. The only one I wouldn't is my ex, because he was awful. No, as a human. That wasn't.
I have thoughts about
not everyone I had sex with this year. There were people I only had sex with once for a reason this year.
Yeah, I think, like, the reason that I'm interested in the question of, like, how many were repeats from previous years is, like, for me, I'm thinking a lot recently about how, like, new partners or people who are, like, one-offs are really not what I'm looking for and not what I'm hoping for right now, because I just feel like I don't have good sex with people who don't know my body, and... Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of my favorite people to bang are basically my favorites because I've banged them a few times and they know what's up. And, like, that's a stupid criteria, but it's also, like, I'm learning that that's kind of an important thing for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's less important for me, but, like, I do like the convenience and comfort that comes with someone you've hooked up with a few times. And, like, if they're just someone that you hook up with pretty regularly, you don't have to have, like, a ton of pretense.
Yeah.
That is, like, socially appropriate on cruising sites and stuff. And also, like, you don't have to be nervous, like, oh, how's this gonna go, whatever. Like, you're pretty comfortable with their existence, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the only reason I'm, like, super interested in finding someone that I could hook up with semi-regularly.
Yeah, I just get so tired of, like, explaining my whole deal. Like, I had a one-night stand last week where I asked the guy to fuck me with a toy, and he said, do you mean hold the toy in my hand and use it on you? And I was like,
your mouth.
I wondered if he thought I meant fuck me with your dick at the same time as you're fucking me with the toy or something, because I was like, I've never had someone ask me for clarification on that before, but I mean,
would you like me to hold the toy? Well, if you could do it with your mind, that would be ideal, but I guess we could stick to using your hand if that makes your life easier. Okay, Cupid, you should contact me if you can telekinesis. Please make the 11 float into my vag.
You should message me if, when I say, could you fuck me with a toy, you know what that means. I was so perplexed.
There are a lot of clarification questions you can ask after, can you fuck me with a toy? Such as, which toy? How fast? How hard? Should I hold it? Is not one of the questions that you should ask.
See, this is, like, it honestly did get me thinking about how I'm sad that I have to go through the first few bangs with someone before it ever gets good. And, like, therefore, probably one-night stands are never going to be a thing I'm going to be really into. Because, like, I was thinking about my fuck buddy, who I've banged pretty regularly over the past year and a bit, who, if I ask him to fuck me with a toy, his, like, he knows what toy. Like, he'll go and get it. He doesn't need to ask me what toy, and then he doesn't need to ask me what to do with it.
Yeah.
He just puts it in there. So, yeah, I'm thinking about that. How many one-night stands did you have this year?
Let me check my post-it note. You have a spreadsheet. I have a post-it that I jotted down at work because I got curious one day.
You're just staying analog. It's fine.
Yeah. One... So how are we defining one-night stand? Someone that I never spoke to again after?
Let's say you only had sex with them one time, and you probably won't have sex with them again.
Okay. So two people that I hooked up with and, like, never even talked to again. One person that I hooked up with and still kind of speak to, but probably won't have sex with again. And two porn shoots. So define those as you will.
True, yeah. Okay, I had two one-night stands in the true sense of, like, we met that night, we had sex, we have not seen each other again.
Yeah.
And then I also had two people, I think, who I had sex with and then didn't see or have sex with again, but, like, it's not off the table. Like, it might happen again. It's just, I guess we're not terribly motivated to make it happen, but it's not unthinkable.
Mm-hmm. What other stats did we want to cover?
So the only other thing that I have that I keep track of in my spreadsheet is how often I came and how often my partner came. which is kind of weird because I feel like as a sex educator, I should not be so orgasm centric, but it's not, like, I'm definitely not saying that orgasm is the metric of good sex, but for me, it often is a metric of good sex because orgasm matters to me. And so I do have those stats and they are kind of interesting. What I'm seeing right now is that I come about, I think it's about like 60% of the time that I have sex. And probably that's mostly focused in sex I have with fairly regular or consistent partners. So, like, people who are my boyfriends or people who are steady fuck buddies because they just know my body. And then my partners typically come about, like, 75% of the time. And, like, I would say that the remaining 25%, often that's related to either alcohol or it was people who just aren't, like, don't prioritize orgasm as highly as I do, so they're not terribly bothered either way. But I do think that the stats are really interesting, and I think that if I'm going to set my, like, start thinking about goals or, like, how I want my sex life to look like in 2017, I do want my number to be a little higher, because I think that often when I don't get off with partners, it's because I get anxious and I'm just like, it doesn't matter, don't worry about me, it's fine. And, like, really, it's not. Like, they should work a little harder sometimes, I think.
Yeah, I would be interesting in seeing my metric for that, because, like, I think it would be hard for me to track, because I'm prone to, like, I do get off usually a couple times, but a couple of really small orgasms when I come with partners, and it feels distinctly different than when I come with a toy. And, like, a lot of the sex I have lately with partners, or I've had this year with partners, has not involved toys, because a lot of it has been at other people's houses or at public places and not in my own house. I had very, very little sex in my own bed, I think once this year.
So was that our threesome?
Twice this year. Okay. So there was very little toy involvement in the rest of the sex I had, which generally means I'm not getting off the same way I normally do. Mm-hmm. Although, someone who's been fingering me a lot lately got me off in a way that I'm used to only feeling with toys today. Like, that happened a few hours ago, and I was like, but we need to talk about this, because that was magic. And I have questions.
So while we're talking about locations,
I know your sex is more often at your own house and also more often involves toys than mine, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird because I do live with my family, so, like, you would think I would not get boned here as much as I do. But just the way that my...
I live in an apartment in New York City. No one comes here. No one at all.
My room is oriented in such a way within the house that I can usually sort of sneak people up there and also have, like, relative privacy. So it's not too bad for that. And, like, certainly I used to be more nervous about that when I was 19, 20. And, like, now that I'm 24, I think everybody's a bit more chill about it around here. So
it's spoilers, okay. Yeah, like, I'm a grown-up. I have sex.
Yeah, but I mean, some people's parents would not accept that, so I feel lucky to have that situation. Yeah. But I definitely hear what you're saying about how, like, being in your own space can be conducive to better orgasms, both because, like, the toys are there, but, like, also, I just, like, anything that helps me relax and feel more comfortable and less anxious is going to be a good thing for helping me enjoy sex more. And if I'm, like, in a space that I'm familiar with and I know where all my stuff is and I know where the lube is and where the condoms are and, like, I don't have to worry about, like, what's that random noise I just heard because I know that it's my radiator and I'm used to that sound. Like, anything that diminishes my anxiety is going to be better for making sex better for me. So I do like having sex in my own bed. That said, had a fair amount of hotel sex this year, got boned in a park, got boned at various people's houses, a sex club a few times. It's been an interesting year. What about you? Locations?
Honestly, I actually think while I like the idea of being in my space with my toys, I actually find the idea of having another person in my space, if it's not someone that I'm super comfortable with or that I know relatively well, is more anxiety provoking. Because they are in my space and it's like, who invited you? Why are you here? And it feels a little more invasive as opposed to, like, being in a stranger's house where, I don't know, I feel, even though it's on their turf, I can leave. Meanwhile, getting someone out of my own space is harder. And there's also, like, my space is very, like, I'm recording next to a giant blowjob painting on the wall. So my space is very me,
and letting them into my space feels more like giving them more access to me than I may be comfortable with, they say about the person that they are fucking.
Yeah, I get that.
Let's see, so I fucked in a couple of Airbnbs, I fucked in my house, I fucked in a bunch of other people's houses.
Yeah, this was definitely a year of getting fucked in Airbnbs for me. That happened a lot.
I've fucked in stock rooms at a store. I don't know how I didn't mention that one. That's great. That happened a couple times. But I think that's the most interesting place that I have played this year.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about the best sex we had this year. I do a thing on my blog called the 12 Days of Girly Juice, where I sort of round up a bunch of my favorite things in a bunch of different categories for the year, and one of the posts I do is my three favorite sexual encounters of the year. So I've already
thought about this. Wait, so are we getting spoilers? Are we going to hear? Ooh, this is an exclusive, everyone.
Well, my answer is
I've never heard any of these stories before, ever. I don't know any of this.
Mm-hmm. So I actually think my answers might be a little bit different, because I drafted that post a while ago, and I, for that post, kind of tried to pick sexual encounters that were not only the best, but were also, like, representative of a grander, like, larger mm-hmm. trend in my sex life, whereas I might just hear, just say, like, what were the fucking best times I got the shit boned out of me? I think... For sure, the two threesomes that I had this year were tops. Yep. So there was the one with you and my fuck buddy, and then, like, the same fuck buddy also threesomed with me and Suze many months later. And those were both just, like, so fun, because, like, the idea of threesomes sometimes to me is very stressful, because it just seems like a lot of coordinating and a lot of ways that people could get their feelings hurt and a lot of ways that you could feel awkward in the moment. But just like in both cases with those, it was just with two people who I trust so much and have so much love for and feel totally safe with, and so, and also like very funny people, I should say. So like it was a lot of like joking and like terrible sex puns and just laughing a lot, which I think is really important for threesomes mm-hmm. and just for sex in general. I also definitely think, like, one of the ones I wrote about in my post was I call it my blowjob epiphany, but it was the night that I, like, realized that I love giving head. And I've told that story before, on the podcast, but it was, like, I impulsively invited myself over to this dude's house to blow him, and he was pretty stoked about it.
As he should be.
Yeah. And also the time that I lost my butt virginity in a hotel to that same partner.
Very important.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, when I think back on the year, really almost all the sex that sticks out in my head as really good was with that one dude. And, like, I write in my post about how it's not that I didn't have, good sex with other people. It's just more, like, I had a lot of, like, nasty breakups this year and, like, times when partners turned out to have been lying to me or just turned out to be not so great people. And so... It really affects how you remember those experiences because they're just, like, tainted by this one bad experience at the end of the relationship. And so, like, that one fuck buddy just sticks out in my head as, like, consistently good sex that has not been ruined by him being a shitbag in later days. So it's pretty mm-hmm. good. I also definitely fondly remember the time that I boned him while you were making porn in the next room of our Airbnb. Which is, like, he was just telling me to be quiet, which I think, like, the reason it sticks in my head, really, is that he's super vanilla ordinarily, but him telling me to be quiet the whole time was, like, kind of dommy, and I was pretty into it. Mm. And the time we fucked in the park, which, yeah.
Because you were in a park.
Because we were both really drunk, which, like, sometimes isn't that great, but because I know him well and I trust him a lot, it felt totally safe and fine to me, but also, like, as I said, he's normally vanilla, and, like, being drunk sometimes opens up a little bit of dominess in him that I don't normally get to see. And so I remember mm-hmm. he was, like, holding my hair and, like, telling me to be a good girl and suck that dick. And I was like, ooh, okay, hello, sir. So that was good. Yeah. What about you? Do you have best sex experiences from 2016?
Yeah, I think... It was disappointing because I'm, like, going through the list and I'm like, I mean, it was good. It was cool.
Yeah.
Definitely our threesome ranks, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Just even not as, like, the hottest sex, but just as the most fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, I would not describe it as hot. Like, I didn't even get off during that threesome because I was having some weird stuff with medication at the time. So, mm-hmm. for me, it was, like, not really about the physical sensations. It was just, like, it was so fun. Like, I just love the two of you so much. And the three of us are so goofy and punny together. It was the best.
Yeah, it was just giggly and perfect, and I liked it. Mm-hmm. And then... A lot of the sex I've had, like I said, I mentioned there were a couple of times I've had sex in a store that a partner works at, and, that's fucking fun, and horrible, terrible idea. Do as I say, not as I do.
Highly unethical. Never do that.
I make awful decisions. However... it's also really hot sometimes. something about getting face fucked in the back of a stock room just
more like
know.
A cock room, am I right?
At like 2 a.m. Ugh, just so many feelings. So that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And can I count sexting as some of the best sex I've had this year? Because there was some impeccable sexting. And some, like, recently, because me and my sir are old folks who can't handle technology, just recently discovered that there is a video chat option in the world, and that's a thing that we can do. we're like Nintendo discovering DLC for the first time. We're, like, 3 years too late, and we're like, oh my god, you can do this. So that's been really hot, just being able to, like, sext my sir and have him watching me, and I'm gonna define that as sex because it's exciting and I want to talk about it and brag about how hot my sir is mm-hmm. on the internet, because that's what I do.
He is a babe. I will concur.
Gah,
you've just really reminded is. Me, though, of an experience I had that it's not on my spreadsheet because it was not sex as I would define sex, but it was probably one of the, like, hottest sexual experiences of my year, which was I was out on a date with this Domly fellow who I dated
briefly. Oh, my God, yes!
You know what I'm talking
Sorry,
about?
Sorry, I got excited.
Yeah.
Tell your story.
Yeah, so we, like, went for drinks, and then we had not had sex before and didn't really intend to on this particular day, but we were both kind of feeling frisky. And so we, like, found an alleyway, because I made some offhand joke. I was like, we should make out in an alley, because that's the thing I enjoy doing. And he was like, we could actually do that. We were in the Annex area of Toronto, which is just crisscrossed with tons of alleyways. So we found one, and I had just gotten my tattoos on the backs of my thighs, like, the week previous, so I was not allowed to get spanked yet. And it was actually kind of this weirdly hot, masochistic, trippy thing where, like, he was really holding over my head the fact that I wasn't allowed to get spanked. Like, he was like, I know you want me to spank you so bad. He was, like, making out with me in this alley and, like, flipped me around so my ass was sticking out. And he's like, you want me to hit you? And I'm not going to. And just sort of, like, touching my ass very lightly and not hitting me.
Ugh.
And just making me say things. Like, he would just be like, tell me how much you want me to hit you. And then I would say it. And then he would make me add sir onto it. And just, like... being really dommy, especially for someone who claimed to not have much experience with that. And yeah, it was definitely like the kind of date where like I went home and jerked off furiously immediately because it was just, he really fucking nailed it.
I love when people say they're not dommy and then pull out some shit and you're like, excuse you. I feel like that happens more often than I meet strangers who are like, yeah, like, I'm such a dom. And then you're like, bro, nah. Aw, that's cute. You think you're gonna boss me around. Aw. You think you're in charge? That's adorable.
But when you're not expecting someone to be dommy and they just pull it out.
I know.
Especially if they're doing it because, like, they know that you're into it and then they know that that's gonna have a power over you. Like, oof.
Gah.
So good.
That does kind of remind me, though, of the time I hooked up with a sadist, and that was really good, too. I got spanked at a play party and just, like, thoroughly beat really, really well, and the scene started beforehand. First of all, the person was like, had asked, like, how much pain I like, and I was like, oh, you know, like, mild pain, like, probably a moderate masochist, because, like, you don't walk up to, unless you're really ballsy, you don't walk up to a stranger and be like, I like heavy pain. Like, I'm too much of a coward to do that. So I didn't want to, like, oversell, basically.
Yeah.
And, like, that, and he was like, oh, and he said, he's like, I usually don't, like, mix my sex and kink. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, I'm just down to get hit today, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, halfway through the scene, he was wailing on me and was like, uh-huh, mild pain. Sure. Sure. You don't like that much. Okay. And then he kept, like, throughout the entire scene, he kept, like, leaning over me and, like, grinding his cock against my ass and, like, kissing me and everything. And then afterwards, we were making out, and he said something along the lines of, like, I want to kidnap you. And I was like, conveniently, you can do that. That is a thing that can happen. Let us go. And then we hooked up, and, like, I was talking to him later, and I was like, uh-huh, I don't like mixing sex and kink. Sure. Sure, buddy. And he was like, well, but, like, I usually don't. And then I saw your ass. And, like, you have a really good ass. I was like, yes, I do. Thank you. Good. You are not wrong.
I think it's true, though. Like, so many sex and kink things are really dependent on the particular person. Like, there are definitely things I have not been that into until a specific person came along who was into them. And, I mean, one of our talking points today is about, like, new things that you got into this year that you were not really that into previously. And for me, there's, like, so many things this year, most notably blowjobs.
So much. Yes, blowjobs.
Because, like, it's weird. Like, my ex-partner, who I was with for years, probably if you asked him, do you like blowjobs, he would give an enthusiastic yes, but I never really got that super enthused vibe from him, whereas, like, my fuck buddy this year, BJs are one of his favorite things, not to the point that he would, like, demand them and aggressively ask for them if I didn't want to give one, but, like, just the fact that he was so into it really revved up my enthusiasm for them, and it kind of just, like, stayed with me into other sexual experiences with other people, where it's, like, it's now a pretty critical part of my enjoyment of sex. And that was, like, a big thing for me in 2016. It was the year of the blowjob.
Spanking kind of really revved up for you, too, this year, right?
Yeah, it's true. I got into a little bit at the end of last year with a couple of fuck buddies. But, yeah, spanking this year, like, I feel like this year I learned a lot about how spanking can be both sexual and non-sexual for me. Like, it was, like, more of a psychological tool a lot of the ways that I was using it this year. Because I didn't bone a whole lot of kinksters this year. So a lot of the spanking I got involved with was, like, platonic spanking, which is fine. It's just, you know, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I think there were probably three big things that I got into this year, more than in past. One is definitely butt stuff, which has, like, I had done before, but it had never been, like, one of my things.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is a thing, and I really want to put things in my butt and enjoy doing that. and want to put things in other people's butts. But now I started thinking about butt stuff, and I was like, oh, that's a thing I could go do soon. So, yeah, one of the other things that I really came into was, I came into my gender identity a lot, just in the rest of my life, but that really impacted my sexuality as well, and, like, finding ways to play with my gender during sex and the way my gender identity impacts my sex life has been a big thing this year. And then probably the most prominent thing was pup stuff is a thing that I'm into. So the typical progression of a kink for me, back on leap day this year, my sir called me pup. I forget what he was saying. He sent some sentence and, like, ended. He had been trying out a bunch of different pet names for, like, a long time. And he wasn't even really my sir at the time. We were doing, like, power exchange stuff. And had been for a couple months. But our dynamic wasn't really established in the way it is now. But he had been trying out a bunch of different pet names for me, and that was the first time he used the word pup. And, like, I remember exactly where I was, and I, like, was really surprised by how viscerally I reacted, and I was just like, ah, you called me pup? And, like, sent that in a text and was like, that was a stupid thing. He very clearly called me pup. He did. I saw him do it. Like, we both know what happened. It's literally the line above this text. So then I, like, followed it up immediately with, like, do that more, please, yes. And, like, I was like, yeah, you know. I'm like, that's cute. It's, like, a cute pet name. It makes me smile. I like it. And then I was like, you know, a little while later it was like, well, you know, and, like, role-playing in a pup-type way is just kind of comforting. Like, I love getting pets and snuggles and being, you know, the most overexcited person in the middle of the room and also the one that gets the most attention. Like, that sounds great and comforting and fun, but, like, I don't think it's a sex thing. And then my sir was like a few days later, I remember getting a text that was like, yeah, but, like, how do we make this pup thing sexy? And I was like, and I said that, I was like, I don't know, it's like a comfort thing, I don't know if we could do that. And he's like, oh, I think we could. I was like, go on. And we very much could. That definitely happened. And now I'm sitting here with a book of gay puppy play erotica at my feet. So, and a collar around my neck. So really, that's how my life has gone this year.
It's interesting. I feel like this year, mostly through you, I've become, like, really much more theoretically interested in power exchange and DS kind of stuff, but I have not really
have that effect on people.
Yeah, but I haven't really had opportunities to actually try that out in practice. Like, I had a dommy fuck buddy for a while who I sort of had that dynamic with, and I once in a while would call him my dom or my sir, but it just, like, never really resonated because I wasn't that into him. And then I dated that dude for a few weeks in the summer, but that didn't work out. And so I'm hoping in 2017 I have more of an opportunity to, like, actually explore my kinks in practical, real-world ways and not so much in my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I'm gonna do. I mean, I've always been into, like, service and DS and kink stuff, but I haven't been in a prolonged DS dynamic the way I am right now. Mm-hmm. So, like, but it's a long distance thing, the thing I'm doing now. So this year, or next year, 2017, is going to be the first time I get to, like, play with that in person, and especially playing with the pup stuff in person. Which is, like, super exciting and also terrifying because I'm anxious. Wee!
Yeah, it'll be good, though. I believe in you. Oh, what?
Yeah.
You're going to be a brave pup.
I believe
pup.
In... Oh, okay. I'm having a feeling.
Okay, wait. I want to go back a bit because we talked about our best sex of the year, but I'm curious if you have a worst sex memory of the year.
Oh... Oh, let me consult my post-it. The random blowjob I got was, like, in concept really hot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was in, this awesome, like, event space in Brooklyn that had, like, a common area and then just a bunch of cubbies that you could go into to fuck. And some of them had, like, sex swings, and some of them just had benches, and it was, like, really awesome. And, like, the event had, like, a mini blowjob workshop in the middle of it, and then they had, like, pairing people up, and you could get blowjobs, or, like, get or give blowjobs for, like, a contest or whatever. And, like, one of the people running the event was like, oh, like, saw me and was like, oh, like, do you want to participate? And I was like, oh, I don't have anyone with me or whatever. And they're like, oh, we can find someone. And, like, recruited a couple people and then had me, like, back up against a pole, and the person, like, running the event held my hands behind my back, and I had someone suck my cock, which was, like, fucking awesome. And then a little while later that night, that person, like, caught my eye across the room and kind of did, like, the come hither thing and told me to follow them. And my brain was like, they, like, told me to follow them and immediately turned around and walked away. And my brain was like, well, I have to follow them now. They're not looking anymore. How could I say no? Like, my brain did not even process that as an option. It was like, oh, I guess we're going with this cute human now. Cool. Good. So I followed them, to, like, one of the cubbies, and, like, they didn't even say anything. We just, like, made out, and they sucked my dick more, which I was like, cool, yep, sign me up. Except the way I had, like, hastily put the harness on before the, like, contest thingy, whatever, so it wasn't quite lined up right, and they were doing that thing where, like, you wanna, if you're sucking someone's cock that's not factory installed, you're gonna kind of grind it against their clit to kind of get some sensation, or, like, jerk it off so it, like, moves against the clit, right? Mm-hmm. Except it was situated higher up on my mons, mm-hmm. so they just kept jamming it into the front of my pubic bone. And I kept, like, trying to shift it so that it was in a vaguely comfortable area. Instead, they were just boring a hole through the front of my pelvis. And I was like, I understand what you're doing is theoretically great. However, ah, fuck.
More like a no job, am I right?
This was so bad. It was almost as bad as that pun. What about you?
So, as part of my spreadsheet and my stats for the year, one of the things I did was I looked at individual partners and how often I came with each person, and then sort of gave them a score, which is terrible.
I adore you.
It's an awful way of assigning numbers to people. And
did you send them a report card?
No.
Oh my god, can that be your Christmas card every year? Like, awful. A festive Christmas card front with your face and, like, pictures with Santa.
No,
on the back.
No, it's not good. And I told this to my consistent fuck buddy. I was telling him about doing stats, and I thought that he would ask me what his number was, and he didn't. And it's probably just because it would have made him nervous and anxious to hear about it, which is totally fair. I don't know that I would want to know my number with someone either. But yeah. Anyway, so one of the things I thought was really interesting is that there was one person who had a score of 100%. And it was not, like, a weird stats thing where we only had sex once or twice. Like, we had sex, I think, like, 6 to 8 times-ish, because I dated him for a little while. But he got me off every single time we had sex. And I realized, thinking about it, that I think it was because, like, this was a dude who really was not that into sex and, like, always was doing it basically as a favor for me. Like, didn't seem to get anything out of it personally for himself. And I think that because he felt that way about it, he was able to be really objective and almost robotic about it. So, like, I showed him how to finger my A-spot, and he would just do it perfectly every time. But in this way that was, like, really passionless and robotic, like I said. And I even mentioned a few of my kinks to him, and he would talk dirty to me in the vein of those kinks, but afterward he would say things like, yeah, I know what people want to hear. And it was just so clear to me that he was just manufacturing this experience to be exactly tailored towards what he thought I wanted. And, you know, it worked. I came every single time with him, but those experiences to me in retrospect are, like, so empty and so soulless, and, like, I don't really remember them very well at all. Like, they were just this blur, and I didn't feel like he was in the experience with me. It really was. I literally might as well have been masturbating, because he was really just there to deliver the exact thing that was going to get me off, and none of the passion and excitement that comes with a partnered sexual experience.
See, it's weird. You're you're describing that, and that's what it feels like when I fuck the pure want. It's just, like, really mechanical and robotic, and, like, if I shake it 3 times in this direction, then I squirt. The end. So where it's just, like, there's no buildup or anything, but it works. That's all it does, though, is work.
Yeah, and it was like, it was the worst because I would come and then immediately after I would just be racked with guilt because it was immediately clear to me that, like, I had gotten off, so we were done. We weren't going to do anything to him because he didn't want me to. And so it made me feel selfish because basically he had created this experience that was only for me and he wasn't going to get anything out of it. And it just made me feel terrible about myself. So, like, that was definitely one of the more interesting things I learned looking at my spreadsheet at the end of this year was just, like, as much as orgasms are important to me, they do not tell the whole story. And there are so many other factors that are important. Because, like, my fave fuck buddy, I think his score was, like, in the low to middle 60s as far as percentage of times that he gets me off, which is pretty average for me. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, like, if I'm motivated to get off and he's motivated to get me off, I will get off. But if I'm in a mood where I'm like, you know what, I don't think it's going to happen tonight, and I tell him that, he will just back the fuck off. Like, he's not going to pressure me or try to make it happen if I don't want it to happen. So, yeah, I think orgasms, they're not a perfect reflection of whether sex is actually good or not.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, shit! I didn't tell... I had a better story about worst sex I've had, and I didn't tell it. Fuck. The time, dude tried to fuck me standing up. lifted my leg up for me and was, like, holding it and holding me against a wall. And, like, we're not the right height, so, like, I was standing on one toe, like, 1 foot on my toes and the other leg was up in the air, and I was like, and I wanted to be like, is this fun for you? Is this, why are we doing this? What? And, like, well, first he was trying to fuck me like that, and then he was like, pick your leg up. And I was like, no, that doesn't sound like a thing I'm about to do. But for some reason I did, probably because his dick was in me, and it's shit's persuasive. It's really good dick. But I had, like, so, like, one leg against the other wall because we were in a hallway. Mm. And, like, while he's, like, holding under the leg, and I was like, what is this shit? How am I supposed to fucking... What? Why? Why?
Death to standing up sex. I hate it so much.
I can't. I just... It's so hard for me to come standing up as it is. And that was just not fun.
I feel about standing up sex the way I feel about 69ing, where it's like, if I'm excited to bone someone, but that's the thing that they want to do, I'm like, you know what? Never mind. I'm good. Did I tell you that my one night stand the other night wanted to 69?
I'm sure that went over well.
Well, I was going down on him, and he's like, do you want a 69? And I was like, no. Like, I literally didn't even, like, explain. I just was like, no, and then went back to what I was doing.
Nope.
See, just for me, it's like, it's way too distracting.
Exactly, yeah.
It's so distracting, and, like, when I'm sucking dick, I really, really want to focus on sucking dick.
Yes.
And it's just, my technique falters when things are happening to my bits.
Yeah, I need to get an A+. Like, don't distract exactly. me, that's rude.
Exactly. Like, every time it happens, I'm always like, I'm busy! Let me live. Like, people are just following you around, sticking their face in your mouth.
Oh, God.
I'm just trying to read this book.
God.
So fuck that, fuck yeah, is our weekly segment where we talk about something we hate and something we love, and a lot of times we try to keep it on topic, but Bex is the worst and rarely does that. What's your fuck that?
Okay, first of all, if you're doing an impression of me, I would never say the sentence Bex is the worst, because there's no universe in which I believe that, so strike that from the record. Never say that again. Don't talk shit about Bex. Bex is my friend.
Don't you talk about them like that.
So my fuck that, kind of for all of 2016, is my mental health situation. It's kind of fucked me over in many ways, as far as sex goes and lots of other things. Especially anxiety, because that keeps me from exploring a lot of sexual opportunities that I think I would otherwise pursue. Like, so often I wish I could just hop on Tinder and just find someone to bone and just go out and bone them, because I think there are so many times when that would be useful for me, either psychologically or just needing to get off and blow off some steam. And my anxiety just makes that really, really hard. And, like, even going to events where I'm going to know people there and I might meet people to flirt with who I would feel comfortable with, like, sometimes anxiety keeps me from going to those things, too. And my depression gets really tied up in my romantic and sexual life as well, where, like, if I get rejected romantically or sexually, it really hits me a lot harder than it would for neurotypical folks. Like, sometimes it can make me go into a depressive spell. And that definitely happened a few times this year, and I am no fun when I'm in that state. And it also just compounds into all these many layered thoughts and insecurities about how I'm destined to be alone forever and no one will ever love me. And, like, eventually I do come out of that space, but man, I would just be so much more romantically and sexually successful if I wasn't nuts. Like, I would get so much shit done. It's scary to think about.
Yeah, that's definitely something I struggled with a lot this year as well, I think. I think both of us honestly found a lot of language to describe our mental health stuff this year, though, which totally. I have found helpful.
Yeah, I got my official diagnoses this year, which definitely makes me feel a lot more legitimate to be able to say I have bipolar type 2 and social anxiety disorder. Like, there are real identifiable things that I have that affect my life. So that was good. And I definitely also learned a lot of strategies for dealing with those things. Like, I am seeing a therapist who specializes in cognitive behavioral therapy, and I'm learning a lot about those techniques, and I'm finding them really helpful. But God, like, I just have this thought, like, who would I be without these disorders? Like, would I be getting laid all the time? Would I be having amazing sex all the time? And I kind of think you can't go down that road of thinking that way, because I'm never going to be that person. And if I was, I'd be a different person. I wouldn't be me, you know? So.
Yeah. Because maybe you would be having sex all the time, but, like, everything else about you would be different. Because I know for me, the way my mental health is, like, it's super core to my personality.
Yeah.
Even if it's not always a great thing, like, mm-hmm. it's really shaped a lot of my life, you know, so.
Yeah, and my work would be completely different and definitely not as good, so there's that to think about. And I don't know that we mm-hmm. would be such close friends if I wasn't mentally ill out my ass. Like,
we are pretty damn close to the same brand of crazy sometimes, yeah. Which is super helpful.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's not good, but it's also good, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your fuck that?
So my fuck that is kind of a complicated one. Back in March of this year, I got my IUD for the first time, which I actually just looked up to get the exact date. Let's see, it was March 11th. Chronicled it with hashtag IU Diary on Twitter, and I'm just going back, and on March 11th, there's just a tweet that says, fuck, I'm dying.
And the pain was great. So bad, you wanted to diary.
It was. It really was. When I first got it, I, like, drove myself there, because I was still living out on Eastern Long Island at the time, and I was like, oh, this, I drove myself there, got it inserted, it was maybe a 20-25 minute drive home, and I started driving, and I made it to minute about 15, and was like, wow, I should not be behind the wheel of a car, I can't keep my eyes open, this fucking hurts. And I had, like, pain so bad that I was, like, curling over, and I was like, nope, this is how I die. But yeah, so I had, like, really bad cramps the first day, but that is something that I expected. As a masochist, it was impressive, though. Like, some of the worst pain I've ever had, so that was fun. Mm. And one of the sweetest things, my sir has done a lot of really sweet things, but, like, I distinctly remember getting texts that were just, like,
Do you need pizza? Do you want me to order you pizza? Can I get heating pads delivered? How does one do that? And just would periodically check on me all day while I was in a blanket cocoon watching Disney movies. So, like, getting it was a whole adventure, but that I expected. But now we're, what is this, 8 months later? And I'm pretty set with it, but it fucks with my periods. I have the 3-year one, which is the Skyla, which is low hormone doses. So I was told that it could get rid of my periods entirely, which, cool, awesome. Instead, what it did was mostly got rid of them, but made me spot forever. So, like, I will not bleed at all for a while, and then spend, like, 2.5 weeks of just very, very, very light bleeding. Which is really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
And, like, especially when my sex life is with a lot of cis dudes, who kind of got a 50-50 shot, and if they're gonna be weird about that,
pick a winner, roll the dice.
Yeah.
Down with period they too... sex, or not so much.
Even though they too have blood in their body.
Solid.
But, yeah, so it, like, you got a 50-50 shot, really, on how they're gonna react, and you never really know, and it's like, I never really know what my body's gonna be doing, and if it's gonna be, and, like, if it is, it's 90% of the time super, super light, like, barely at all, so it's just annoying, mm-hmm. and makes me feel gross about my body, which is not a thing I want. Like, I don't want to constantly be worried when I'm hooking up with people that I don't know if they're going to think my entire body's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, that's an icky feeling. So while mm-hmm. I love the fact that I'm not going to have babies and I can't fuck it up because I don't have to take pills every day, I don't have to do a monthly ring or a shot or anything like that. I use condoms for STI safety, and this protects me if that fails. It's just, like, a weird annoyance that has been impacting my sex life this year and making me feel grumpy about it.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. What's your fuck yeah? Make me feel better.
Okay, so my fuck yeah is something that I've talked about so many times on the show before. I actually feel like if you were to listen to all the Dildorks episodes and have, like, a drinking game where there are specific words or phrases that you have to take a shot every time you hear them, you would definitely be dead if you had to take a shot every time we mentioned enthusiasm or being enthused about something.
But, like, on a related note...
Mm-hmm.
Send us your ideas for the Dildorks drinking game.
Oh, please. But then I'm going to get super self-conscious about whatever things you tell me I say all the time.
I know, but it'll be hilarious. Come on, like, hashtag DD drinking.
I mean, I know you should take a drink every time we say that something is important. Dick pics are very important. Enthusiasm is very important. Yes, tweet at us about the Dildorks drinking game, and I'll just live in fear that I'm saying certain phrases way too much.
Every time Bex's voice gets weirdly high.
Every time the bloopers contain a weirdly personal story that I probably shouldn't have left in there.
Anyway, time you can hear my collar jingling in the background.
Or your radiator making weird sounds?
Oh my god, it's the worst!
Don't drink every time we make a pun, because again, you'll be dead.
And we like you, we don't want to kill our listeners. Yeah,
it'll be an appropriate punishment. Anyway, enthusiasm. I really feel like it's been the make or break factor between good sex and bad sex for me this year. And I guess that that's always true, but it's just something I've really been thinking about and noticing a lot in 2016, particularly since I did date that one guy who just, like, had no enthusiasm whatsoever for my genitals or my body or me as a sexual person, apparently. Because at the time, like, I remember I was telling you about how, like, I really liked so many things about him, but I was just desperately missing my fuck buddy who was not in town at that time. And it was, I think part of it was just like, I was missing the feeling of having sex with someone who clearly wants to have sex with you. Like, that joy and that enthusiasm and that initiative and excitement, like, I was just really missing that feeling. And not only because the sex was bad, but also, like, having sex with someone who doesn't want to have sex with you is really bad for your feelings about yourself and your self-esteem, because it just makes you feel like the garbagiest of garbage humans. And let me clarify, when I say he didn't want to have sex with me, he was consenting. He was just not excited about it. And
yeah.
And, like, that's just a gross feeling for both people, I think. And it's something that at the time I thought I could put up with, or at least I wanted to stick it out for a little while and see if it would get any better. But I think I'm just not, like, that's going to be a major red flag and deal breaker for me going forward. If someone's not excited about banging me, especially in the early days of dating them, when, you know, you should theoretically be at your highest ever levels of desire and excitement and new relationship energy, like, I don't want to waste time with people who make me feel gross and unattractive. I have enough problems already feeling gross and unattractive. I want to date people who make me feel like the foxiest babe ever. Because that's kind of one of the things that makes it so great to date people or to have sex with people, is that it affects the way you feel about yourself, and you can affect the way that people feel about themselves. And that's a wonderful thing. I think enthusiasm in the sexual sphere changes lives and is really important.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's super important.
Mm-hmm. What is your fuck yeah?
I'm gonna get real sappy. And my fuck yeah is gonna be best friends.
Babe! I'm gonna cry.
Because, so, I mean, this really started, like, November of last year is when you and I got really, really close. And also I got really close with my sir, who's, like, my other best friend. Mm-hmm. And I've spent a lot of this year working on, like, a lot of personal development shit and dealing with a lot of mental health shit and dealing with a lot of gender shit and, like, figuring out who I am as a human. And I couldn't have done any of that shit without either as slash both of you.
Aww.
And just, like, knowing I have a support network and knowing that you guys are both there, like, when I'm like, I think this is a thing I identify as, or I think this is a thing that is happening for me, or I feel X way about Y thing, you're always both just like, okay, alright, awesome, and, like, you roll with it immediately. Like, both of you, as soon as I told you my new pronouns, you have never fucked them up, like, ever. And you were just like, excellent, that is a fact of life now. Like, there was no transition period. And just, no one's supported me in, like, any of the shit I've done the way you two have this year. So, that's a thing that has really influenced how great this year is. And I'm really happy about it.
Love you.
Love you too.
I feel like, yeah, it's weird. We had all these discussions in this episode about various things that have influenced our sex lives and our sexual developments this year. And I didn't even mention that, like, being friends with you has really had a huge effect on, like, I feel like I would be way more vanilla now if I hadn't met you. There are just so many kinks. Whoops. That, like, you mention them. And at first I'm like, oh, it's cool that you're into that. All right, cool, whatever. And then I'm thinking about it more and I'm like, it'll be 2 weeks later and I'm jerking off and fantasizing. And then I'm just suddenly in my fantasy, like, kneeling on the floor wearing a collar, and I'm like, oh, interesting, that's new. I feel like Bex planted that seed in my brain. Neat.
Whoops. I, like, just rolled up into your life and was like, hey, have you heard of service?
It's so true.
Do you know how power works? Make stuff hot.
Was that an electricity joke?
I'm gonna pretend it was, because that's hilarious.
That's a layered joke. All right, so next week we're gonna do sort of a part two to this episode, which is going to be about looking forward to 2017 and setting some sexual goals. I'm really big on goals. I think that they're super important and super helpful. Shit, I just said that something's important. Someone who's doing the drinking game is getting a little drunker now.
We've said it like four times since we set up that rule. That person is dead.
Please stop drinking. We will not be held responsible.
It is very important that you stop drinking.
So yeah, next week is going to be about goals and stuff that we're hoping to achieve sexually / romantically, I guess, in 2017. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and for listening to all of our episodes this year. It really, I'm so, so proud that we launched this show and that it's done as well as it has. Like, it just fills me with joy.
Yeah, like, I was looking for a link earlier today, and I looked on our website, and I was like, oh, we've been doing this, like, a while. We have a lot of episodes, and a lot of people listen to us.
I know.
We hit 600 followers on Twitter today. Like, it's almost like people care what we have to say. It's awesome.
I know, and it makes me so happy. And, like, talking of mental health, like we just were, like, there are some days where I feel like total garbage and my depression is telling me I'm a useless human who's never achieved anything and is destined to be a failure forever. And then when I'm feeling like that, I can just open up Twitter and see all these people telling me, hey, I listened to your thing, I really liked what you said, or, like, I love this blog post you wrote, whatever. Like, those people honestly, truly, really do affect the way I feel about myself and make it so much easier and more joyful to move through my life. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
We do, yeah.
My name's Kate Sloan, and I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. You can also look at my other writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. I'd love if you would follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My username is girly_juice. Who are you? Where's your stuff?
I'm Bex. I blog at BexTalkSex.com, and I'm going to actually start doing that again once January rolls around, because my day job is in retail, and I am dead to the world this month.
I'm also to the world, the bean can't blog. Do you like that song?
I do. That's actually really, really good. I also tweet at BexTalkSex on Twitter, and I'm at BexTalkSex on Instagram. Go ahead and follow me once again. I will see y'all in January over there. Together we are the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at thedildorks.com. And you can email us at thedildorks@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any questions or comments you have. If we get any cool questions, we might start answering them on the show, because that'd be really fun. So shoot anything you have our way.
Well, not anything. I don't want your semen on me. Thank you very much.
But... no. Yeah, don't actually shoot our way.
Thank you so much to Protodome for letting us use his song, I Want You in My Bedroom, as our theme song. And also to Amy Gardner for our beautiful art. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. Five.
Four.
Three.
Two.
One!
Yay!
Lift off!
Oh, man. I can't decide which pun I want to start with, so I'll probably just do both of them.
As you do.
Yeah, I do. Double punning it, you know.
They're here for the puns, anyway.
Welcome to the Dildorks. Why did I say that like that? I'm a cartoon character.
Facebook isn't working. Do you want to try Skype again?
No, Skype's garbage.
So's Facebook.
Nothing's working. No. We should just talk on the phone, like, plebes.
No. Did you see my tweet about my newest fantasy?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's just...
it says, Fantasy, a well-known retail establishment hires me to sit in their back room and give orgasms to all the stressed out employees during the holiday season.
Ugh, that's excellent.
Right? And someone just responded, Hot Fantasy. I know, that's why I tweeted it. You're just going to talk about that in general. You didn't have a specific one.
Yeah, I mean, they were all the same, so...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was literally just... It was, like, 6 to 8 of the exact same interaction.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
He would invite me over. To... He would order pizza. He would finger bang me. We would watch a terrible movie that I would pretend to be interested in. Then I would try to get him to cuddle me, and he wouldn't. And then in the morning, I would leave.
Fun.
Yeah. Thrilling. Dream date. And then, fuck yeah, there's gingerbread, like, very close to me.
Ooh, can my fuck yeah be gingerbread?
Okay, but I'm gonna go to the washroom. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Don't judge me for eating gingerbread on the toilet.
I won't. I would judge you for not doing it, honestly.
I have to lay off the beer. It has not been kind to me lately.
God damn it. You want me to beat it up? Beer yeah. Bullying my best friend. These bastards.
It's so tasty, though, but it makes me feel bad. Just like so many dudes I've loved. So funny.